People often ask me, what do you have in your Bible that's always pasted in there? Well, I do a large print so I don't have to wear my glasses. It's a hassle taking them on and off. So, yeah, that's why I can use this for New Living, for the Message, for the NIV. It's all the same in one because you just print them all off. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 5 and then 9 to 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And then verse 9. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made His home among us, and He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. I can still remember the first time we went out to buy a real Christmas tree. Now remember where I come from. We built sand castles because it's summer and you're at the beach. So don't know anything about this stuff. So in my head, I'm driving up there, taking a tree, put it in the car, and get it home. To my surprise, I come there, and it's like, okay, there's a lot of trees in this place. And then all of a sudden, it's about, would you like a Douglas fir or a Fraser fir, a spruce or a pine? And it's like, whoa, stop, dude, I just want a tree. And then all of a sudden, there are all kind of shapes and sizes. And now I have to think, okay, where am I going to place this tree? Do I have enough room? Is it, some of them are really wide. So I have to kind of work through them and pick, and at last you get this tree. And then's the moment, oh, costs $195. That's a lot of money for a tree. And then you pay and you put it on the, of course, now they put it in this little net thing and it's on the roof, and you get home. Then the real fun starts, right? Because once you get it in, it's needles all over the place. And now it's in a stand, and it just doesn't want to stand up straight. And at last you got the thing straight, and now you can start decorating. One year, all of this fun and games was done, and it was up there, and I was looking. I thought, man, I got this thing in easy. It's standing. And the next thing, there goes the tree. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. And the, boom, right over. Good thing, no water in the stand yet, no ornaments on the tree yet. So all of that, just a lot of needles. So I go down and I check, and I realize, oh, when I bought this tree, I didn't look well. Because right above the cut line, there's a bent. So this was a leaner when it was standing, and I bought this one, and now it wanted to lean again. So here I got the tree. We go outside and go into the garage, and I get the saw. And the moment I took the saw and I looked at the tree with a bent, I realized I'm not the only one that has to deal with this. God deals with this every day. Just look at me. Just look at you. I'd love to stand here and say, hey, I have no bents in my life. I'm as straight as a sequoia and as strong as a sequoia, but I would be lying. We're all full of bents and twists, leaners. And in that moment, I found a little bit of a kindred spirit with myself and a Christmas tree. Because here's what I was thinking. Everything I did for that tween, we're going to get there in a second, God does for me and for you. So let's talk about you, me, and the Christmas tree. First thing, and there's a slide for this, Ted. The first thing, God, like us, we picked that Christmas tree. I went and I looked through my Douglas and Fraser's and I picked it. God picked you. Can you just hear that for a second? You're not a little mistake that happened somewhere. You're not just, oh, fell out of the air and, oh, here I am. God knows you, knew you, picked you for who you are, for what you are, for where you are, so that God can rejoice in you and you can become that amazing person that God created you to be. You're not an it. David says it beautifully. Psalm 139, and you can write that one down too. 139 says, Lord, you know me. You see right through me. Before I say a word, that you know it. Where I sit and where I lie, you know that. And then verses 13 to 16. You created me fearfully and wonderfully. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You created this beautiful tapestry that became me. And even before I was born into this world, you knew all the days of my life. Will you hear that? God picked you. Isaiah 43, my favorite. I called you by your name, and you're mine. You are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. As we know, this is where I'm going to put my Christmas tree. That's where it's going to fit. That's what God knows about you. And I can say that in my own life. If you told me 1976, when I went into first year university studying to become a minister, that God is actually planning to put me in Canada, where it's gray skies and rain and snow and not sunshine and blue skies, I would have said, you got it all wrong. My plan is here. God had a plan, and he says, at the age of 44, you're going to move your whole family to Central Church, and for 21 and maybe 24 years, that's where you're going to serve me, because I have a plan for you. I have a plan for those people, and God has a plan for you, for where you are, for who you are, and what you are doing. You were made, and there's a slide for this, you were made on purpose, with a purpose. Will you please hear that? Especially in those days when the old bents and the old welts come and your old tree feels a little like it kind of wants to lean a little bit. It's okay, he'll pick you up. But it's also true that when you go in and you pick your tree, you don't just pick your tree, put it on the roof and you drive off. I hope you don't. You also pay for that tree. God not only picked you, God also purchased you. And that was very costly. He had to give his own son for a world full of sinners, messed up people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, he says it's so beautiful in the New Living Translation. He says, you were bought at a high price. God paid the full price for each one of us when he picked you and he said, I love you, Hank. I need you, and I'm going to use you as a doctor to take care of people's lives. And God said, but I have to pay the price for you, Hank, because I'm going to save you. And here's the amazing thing about that. What would have happened to us if God didn't pick us and purchase us? We would have been stuck on that lot. What happens to the trees at the end of the season when they're not bought? They become wood chips, right? And God said, I can't leave them. I can't let them become wood chips. And God, where we were stuck, came and said, I'm going to buy you. Rick Warren writes a cute little story that explains a little bit of this. It says he and his wife and the little daughter went to the mall. Wife wanted to pick something up. So the two of them waited in the car, the dad and the little girl. And she wanted out of her car seat. He said, sit, mom's going to be quick. Mom wasn't that quick. And at some stage, little girl was complaining, take me out of the seat. And Rick said, no, sit. And the next thing, she's got a little head out the window and she yells, "Please, God, get me out of this." And I think some days that's how we feel too. Not because we're stuck in the back seat of a car, in a car seat, but because we're stuck in a broken body with bad habits, suffering the consequences of poor choices, living in a broken world. And we need help. Sometimes we try our own remedies, right? We'll shop. Maybe it'll help. Or party. Maybe that'll help. Or one relationship to the other. And all we realize, I'm stuck on the lot. It's going nowhere. I need a Savior. I need a Savior who will come into my life and who will buy me and make me who I need to be. And the Christmas promise is exactly that. In Jesus, God sent His Son on a rescue mission into this world. And just think about it. When I think about the New Testament and Jesus coming into this world, just walk through Samaria and there's this woman abused and hurt, and He rescues her. And instead of drinking a little water that she gave Him, He gives her the water of life, which would let her tree blossom and be amazing. He rescues a man who's filled with demons and lust and gives him life everlasting. He walks past a wee little Zacchaeus who sits in a tree, who's longing for a clean conscience and for a friend. And there at a lunch, he receives both. And then in that moment, Jesus rescues this world when He gives His life on a tree, on Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "And He took all of our sins and put that upon Himself. And then He went and He put Himself on a tree." It's interesting when you read the Greek. The Greek word that He uses there is the word zulon. Gregory, you'll think of this because you were in Israel with me. Zulon means a dead tree stump. And He died on a dead tree stump. He doesn't use the word cross. Stauros is a cross in Greek. He died on a tree. And I was thinking, so somewhere in this timeline between the tree of knowledge in the garden and the tree of life in heaven, there's another tree. The tree of sacrifice on Calvary. And when a Christmas tree is decorated, it's beautiful, right? And we all like it. But who can deny that there is no more amazing tree than that one that stood on an empty hill called Calvary? There's an old song, Peter, I should have you up here and sing it. There's an old rugged cross on a hill far away where the dearest and best died for a broken world, for you and for me, that we might find salvation, because He bought me and He said, "You're mine, you belong to me." But there's one last thing between me and you and a Christmas tree. When you take it home, you always have to cut that little part at the bottom off first so that it can put the water, just keep on drinking the water so at least it stays for the season. And sometimes God will take the axe to our prejudices. He'll take the clippers to all those self-pity moments. And when He looks at the twists and turns, He's known to take the saw. Saw a little bit. But here's the good news. John 15, and we just spoke about that a while ago. Can you remember John 15? Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener, and every branch that bears fruit, what does He do? He prunes it. Why? So that it will bear more fruit." Sometimes He'll take a little saw to us, a little clipper. And then, when we're all settled, and the old tree is in its stand, then He decorates us. And he puts on hope, peace, joy, goodness, love, kindness, and gentleness, and self-control. And he surrounds us with his grace. And then we become that distribution point of all of God's gifts. And some might find salvation through the gift that we give, through the words that we say, or the way in which we act, and God can be seen. Sometimes the gifts might be a little smaller. Just a kind gesture of visiting a friend in hospital. Or a kind word here or there. Or a gentle arm to walk someone down an aisle that's struggling. Or a cup of coffee to the guy who's walking out in the cold. But here's the thing. The gifts that we distribute, they come from the giver of gifts. Because there, in the manger, he showed his love. But there on Calvary, he saved you. So it's you and me and the Christmas tree. Picked, purchased, and pruned. Trust God. You're going to look so much better without those welts and those bends. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you for coming in the manger, Lord Jesus, and showing the love of the Father. Thank you for walking this world and showing us how to live. To stop there in Samaria where maybe you were not even loved. And to show the Father's love and give life. To stop and to see a Zacchaeus sitting in a tree and sharing a meal. To have eyes to see the blind and to stop and to talk and to give them sight. And then you say, there you go. I've decorated you. And I've filled you with the light of my Spirit. Now go distribute my gift. Help us then, Lord, to be like that. To give the gifts that you give freely, to give them freely. To a world that is in need and broken and dark. To people who are seeking and in need. Help us to bring the light that came in Jesus Christ into this world. We pray for this world. It is hurting, Lord. Some days I don't even want to watch the news. It's not fun anymore. Help, Lord, let your light shine in the darkness. Thank you that you hear our prayer as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.